In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've reached a gospel today where I think there's really two important points. And it wouldn't have to do with casting out of demons or anything like that. It's because of those words, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Because after we get to this point in Lent, where we've passed the midpoint, and those who have been struggling and are tired perhaps and have been tempted in ways that they didn't think they were going to be tempted, all of a sudden are confronted with these very words, which is how we feel so much of the time if we are honest with ourselves. Lord, I believe. Lord, I want to believe. Lord, I have believed. But I'm just not quite sure about this or that or the other. You know, my faith is wavering a little bit. I'm sort of down about something, or things aren't working out quite the way that I thought they were going to do. And so if that's the case, then I'm not sure about you anymore. You see how that works? Whenever we feel that we know a certain way things are supposed to work out, that things are supposed to happen, and they don't, then all of a sudden faith begins to waver a little bit, because we like to judge God very much in accordance with how well He is according with our own wills. That's how it usually goes. We think that things should go a certain way, that certain things should happen, that we should get this, that, or the other, or that someone should be healed, or someone should come to faith, or something like this, and yet it doesn't. And so we start thinking, well, my goodness, what's going on here? Why isn't this working out the way that I think it should work out? But yet this man today freely admitted that he had faith, but yet it was weak, that he needed help in this. And we all need help in this. We all need a bolstering of our faith. We need some sort of spiritual injection, if you will, to kind of make us come to that point where we're more accepting of everything that God has done for us, so that we could say, like St. John Chrysostom did on his deathbed while he was being cast into exile, glory to God for all things. Have you thought about how important that phrase is? Glory to God for all things, even the bad things, even the things that we're not certain about, the things we don't understand, we give glory to God for that. Because we know that He is up here, whereas we are down here, and His view is a little bit better than ours, which is often quite myopic. Even amongst our own brethren, even amongst the people we deal with every day, we have trouble sometimes because we tend to look at things only from the way that we want to see it. And that's our big mistake. That is why this is a prayer that should be prayed all the time. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Because we're wavering. We are up and down. When things are going well, it's easy to believe, isn't it? It's so simple to believe when everything falls in place. But when things get difficult, when someone gets sick, when someone loses a job, when someone dies, when someone falls away, all of a sudden it becomes terribly difficult for us to have that great degree of faith. Yet that is what is required of us. That is what is needed. And because of this particular gospel and the foreshadowing, I mentioned two things, of the fact that we are now at this point in Lent, and yet at the end of this gospel, where we talk about faith and unbelief and the healing of a demoniac, these sorts of things, the last line in the gospel is that the Son of Man is going to be turned over to the authorities, and they will kill Him. And yet, on the third day, He rises again. This is where we are at this point in Lent. The anticipation is there. We've got just 2 weeks until we'll be walking into Jerusalem with the Lord, greeting Him with Hosanna in the highest. Just 2 weeks to do this. And so we start anticipating that glory which is to come, that wonderful sense of resurrection that we know is implicit for all of us, that we know is waiting for all of us. So how can we prepare from now on? Well, this is why we talk about St. John Climacus today, an absolutely outstanding saint in the history of the church, a man who at the age of 16 became a monastic, and then 4 years later he met up with a certain elder who taught him about the spiritual life. And so St. John went and he lived in a small cell for many, many years, and then returned to his brethren, so that after basically 70 years, when his renown was everywhere, he became abbot, and was not abbot for long, just a few years before he reposed. Yet he was in this great monastery that we now know as St. Catherine's on Mount Sinai. And in fact, St. John, after all these years, the day that he was installed as abbot, there were 600-700 people that came to the monastery, that were at the celebrations, that were in the trapeza, having dinner. And there was a strange man who was walking around. He looked like he was dressed in old Hebrew garb. And he was giving orders to people and telling the cooks what to do and telling all these other people where to go and where to sit, etc., etc., on and on. And everyone wondered, who is this guy? They couldn't figure it out. And then later on, after the celebrations were over, they couldn't find him. He was gone. And so they went to St. John and they said, Abba, did you see this man that was helping and giving us orders and trying to keep things orderly? And St. John said, is it so unusual that our Lord Moses would be walking and serving in his place? Because it was, of course, Mount Sinai. So Moses himself gave his approbation to the raising of St. John to this great and important position for the last years of his life. And in fact, you know, his renown was so wonderful that another monastery, another John actually, abbot of the monastery of Reithu, which was nearby, wrote to St. John and begged him. He said, put down some things, you know, about the spiritual life, the things that you've learned. And St. John responds and says, I haven't learned anything. You know, I'm the worst of all sinners. I don't know anything. But yet, out of obedience, and get this, this isn't obedience that one monk was into another, because this was another monastery. But St. John took this request from someone completely out of his monastic order as an obedience to do this. And so he sat down to work. And what he produced was this book here, The Ladder of Divine Ascent. 30 steps, one for each year of the Lord's life, in imitation of the ladder that Jacob saw reaching from earth to heaven with angels ascending and descending upon it. That this was the true way to find your way into the kingdom of heaven. Now, it's a book that was written for monastics. No question about that. And some mistakes that people make among the laity is they read this thing. First of all, they get really discouraged, because this book will tear you apart limb by limb to try and diagnose the ills, the spiritual ills which beset you. But yet it's still worthy to be read by all of us, as long as we understand that this is the book, I like to call it, The Perfection of the Human Being, because this book shows what a human being can become if you follow these steps. And he diagnoses all sorts of illnesses, spiritual problems, you name it. It's all in this book, which is why it is read during Lent in monasteries every year. This is pulled out. But lest we get too discouraged, there's one little spot here that I wanted to read to you that kind of sums up things for us. It's actually in step one. And of course, step one is, you know, fairly simple, on renunciation of the world. That's where it all starts. But St. John is actually asked a question, because people thinking that, well, it takes all these great ascetical exercises, and how can we possibly do this? In fact, it says, some people living carelessly in the world have asked me. We have wives and are beset with social cares. And how can we lead the solitary life? I replied to him, and this is to all of us, despite all the intricacies of this book. He says, do all the good you can. Do not speak evil of anyone. Do not steal from anyone. Do not lie to anyone. Do not be arrogant towards anyone. Do not hate anyone. Do not be absent from the divine services. Be compassionate to the needy. Do not offend anyone. Do not wreck anyone's domestic happiness, and be content with what your own spouses can give you. If you behave in this way, you will not be far from the kingdom of heaven. And so he simplifies it all down into this nutshell, because he knows that in the monastic life, they say that angels are light for monks and monks are light for men. And because of this, if you're called to the monastic life, much is expected of you, because you have to spend your every waking moment in dedication to God. Everything that you do, your whole life is for God. Of course, all of our lives should be for God too. But we work, we do all these other things, we have to live in the world, and so we can't do everything that the monks do. And so this book shows a monk how to be perfect. But yet St. John says here, with what I just read, how we too can be perfect in the world simply by following these certain very basic commands that he gives to us. But yet I would not discourage anyone from reading this if you read it in the proper spirit and understand how and why it was written, because it is eye-opening. And if you're ever beset by any certain personal sin or problem, and of course, you know, all of us run into remembrance of wrongs, despondency, judging others, pride, it's all in here. And you can read this book and find out exactly how to go about assaulting the demon that causes these things and that tempts us so much. So there's a lot to consider on this brilliant day, the commemoration of St. John Climacus, and this fourth Sunday of Lent, when we're about to enter into the fifth week. If you have been lax or lazy or negligent or slack in your spiritual approach to Lent, now is the time to correct that. 2 weeks now until Holy Week. 2 weeks to give to God in a way perhaps you've never done before. 2 weeks to wake up and do the things that you should have been doing for the last four. But yet God is merciful, and he receives all of us, no matter when we come to him, as long as we do come to him. So let's take these things to heart, my dear brothers and sisters, to engage in the spiritual warfare starting today, and not relent until that glorious and great day of Pascha, which awaits all of us. Amen.